You are listening to the Embrace What Matters podcast. My name is John Mihalik. I'm a seminary-trained author and speaker with over 25 years' experience encouraging others in the areas of spiritual life change and authentic relationship. My goal is to bridge the things of eternity with everyday experience. We're taking a break from the Belonging to Him series for the holiday season, and we'll pick back up with part two on January 17th. This week, you'll be hearing a sermon I shared from a three-part New Year's series while pastoring a church in the country of Honduras. If this podcast encourages you and helps you, can I ask that you please write a review and leave a rating? It will simply help more people find the podcast who, like you, may be searching for more purpose and meaning. Thanks again for listening, and enjoy this week's episode.
If you weren't here last week, we're doing just a mini-series on the concept of time. Last week was right before New Year's Eve, and New Year's Eve, New Year's Day is a period in the year where we focus on the concept of time. We think about the fact that we're so many minutes, hours from midnight. We look back on 2018. We look forward to 2019, either positively or negatively. So that was the title last week was Forward and Back Again, looking backwards. Is it appropriate biblically to look backwards? And I think the answer is yes. We want to look back specifically at what God has done for us. What's been our experience in 2018 with God? What ways did we go astray? What ways did God bless us and care for us and take care of us? That helps us in moving forward into the present, into the future of 2019. What does God have in store for me going forward? So this morning, the overall three-week topic I'm calling A Time for Every Purpose Under Heaven comes from Ecclesiastes, which we'll look at this morning. This morning's topic I'm going to be calling What Time Is It Where You Are? What time is it where you are? You have probably, really anywhere you live, but I've had that asked, I think, since I've come to Honduras. People in the United States, in the Pacific time zone, or the Eastern, or the Central time zone, that they're asking, what time is it where you are? And that question is because that sort of affects the way they see me, meaning, when does it get dark for you, that kind of thing. And Honduras is one of those quirky places where the time, so to speak, doesn't change. And so we have to sort of explain, all right now I'm on mountain time, or right now I'm on central time. And that's sort of a curious conversation that we can have with people from other parts of the world or the United States. What time is a question that we often ask, many of us. We've learned that Hondurans or Latin Americans have a different concept of time than many people from the North America. There are different places. I think Ludmila told me, or Evan, that Russia is very strict about time. They are very strict that you can be late. The states are very much like that in different ways. Japan is very strict. But then you have Latin America and you have other places in the world where they have a sort of a softer view of time. There's maybe no such thing as being late. And so that's when we talk about cultural education of people coming to this country, that's one of the conversations that we have. Different views about time. What time is it is an important question for many of us. It is for me. We've been moving around. And by the way, I'll mention that Zola and I just decided we moved to Tegucigalpa. So we are about 6 minutes away from here. And if you want the explanation, you can come up and talk to me about it. But the upside is we are close. So we're excited to be close to things, close to people. It was great to just have a real short commute this morning. But last night I was thinking about time as we do all the time, right? I set my iPhone alarm for a certain time because I knew I wanted to get up at a certain time to have so much time to get ready, to shower, to prepare for this morning. I knew I had wanted to have so much time to drive, which had changed because we've moved from Santa Lucia. So that was in a calculation of time to get here in time to do whatever that was required to welcome people and organize and prepare. Just a small example. I've been happy that since we've been moving, I haven't had my clock. Some people just use their phone to know what time it is. Some people have clocks on the wall. I have a clock by my bedside that I haven't been using. So it's nice for me, for whatever reason, to wake up at 3 a.m. and look at the clock and know what time it is. How much time do I have left to sleep? You as parents have said, it's time to wake up. And the parents need to get up, right? Or the kids need to get up. The parents definitely need to get up. But the kids need to get up, right? It's time for school. It's time to go to work. What time is it is an important question that you and I often ask. As we looked at last week, the concept of time is something that's important because time defines us. It's this issue of context. We are surrounded by our past, by our present, and our future. And what time it is tends to define who we are, what we think, say, and do. How we think, what we say, what we do, who we are is usually defined by what time it is. So asking the question, what time is it, helps us answer that. We are guided by frameworks of time. Seconds matter to us. We could describe different examples, but certainly sports, right? There were some football games on last night, basketball, soccer, right? That's guided by time, and very often seconds matter in a game. Minutes will matter to us. We can provide all sorts of examples. How many minutes is this sermon going to last? You're probably asking that question because I have to get to lunch by so-and-so time. Right? So minutes definitely matter. Hours can matter. There's a difference between 8 a.m. There's a difference between 5 a.m. and 8 a.m. You're calling me at 5 a.m. or you're sending me a text. I've done that before, not accidentally, just not thinking about it. I'm awake, so I send someone a text not realizing that the alarms are probably going off on their phone at 5:30 in the morning. I figure I was just, you know, sending it to them, and no big deal. But that matters. 8 a.m. is different than 5. 8 p.m. is different than 8 a.m. You look at yourself differently. You look at your day, how you think, say, do things based on what hour it is. Days matter. Monday, right? For those in the work week or the school week, Monday is very different than Friday, isn't it? Right? There are differences. Saturday is a different day. Sunday is a special day. We look at things differently depending on what day it is. Weeks matter to us. Months matter to us. January is different than July, the way we look at our months, different than December. Months will shape us, the way we look at things. Years matter. How old are you? What year are you? 2019 is different than 1950, right? The way we look at years is important. It defines us. Time is you can look at time in a couple different ways. Time is linear. Time will follow along a line. You see this line that moves from the 1800s to the 2000s, so a historical timeline. You can have a line that moves from birth to youth, maturity, right? Your life is a line. Time moves forward along a line. That's one way to look at it. Time is also cyclical. It's a circle, right? Our year is sort of a circle. January goes 12 months and then starts all over again. We're back at January again. We have seasons. Right now we are in the winter season, and a Honduran winter is different than a Michigan winter, but we're in the winter season, and then we're going to go to spring. Boy, I sure wish it was summer right now because it's winter, right? But knowing that it's all going to come back around again is sort of interesting, that we live in this circular time. It's so funny that, you know, we go through these weeks and months of Christmas season, the lights, the music, and you get done with it and you're going, I'm so tired of Christmas. But somehow, every year, at least for me, I get back around to the fall months and I get into November and I'm ready for Christmas again. It's weird how that works. So seasons are an example of how time can be cyclical. It can be circular. Certain periods in our year are shaped by different celebrations and holidays. These matter. Birthdays, anniversaries. What time is it? If I am someone that forgets a certain person's birthday, I'm going to get in trouble. If I, as a husband, forget our anniversary, what time is it? It's our anniversary. I'm going to get in trouble because that mark in time matters to my wife. Someone's birthday matters to them, or it matters to me. These are elements of time that are important. And then we have our holidays. There are people who flip out if someone forgets Valentine's Day. There are other people who want nothing to do with Valentine's Day, but they have a strong opinion about Valentine's Day. It defines them. Easter, the weeks leading up to Easter, the celebration of Christ's death and resurrection, that is a very special time that shapes the way we think and do different things. Memorial Day is the start of summer. We think about life differently when Memorial Day comes. Labor Day is the end of summer, right? Going back to school, there's a different schedule going on. In some ways, there's an element of renewal, for me at least. The months, the weather's getting a little bit cooler. Certain sports start up again, so I think about life a little differently. Halloween's a fun time for people. Thanksgiving is a special time for people. And then we just did Christmas and New Year's. These are all special times, and they shape the way we look at our year. We are also defined by different life stages, right? In infancy, when I am an infant, a baby, I think a certain way, I do things a certain way, I speak, however, in a certain way, and then people look at me differently than they look at me in other life stages. It defines me. Youth, right? I think, say, and do things differently. Adolescence, teen years, differently. Adulthood, differently. Middle years, that's a time that is special for people because they look at life differently. They evaluate things differently. And then our elder years. And then you have things like funerals and weddings and the births of babies. These are elements and marks that we put towards the issue of time that shape the way we see and do things in life. So, time is important, right? What does the Bible say about time? We looked at this quite a bit last week, but what is the biblical perspective on time regarding asking the question, what time is it? Knowing what's the time right now? The biblical perspective is like this. Periods of time or seasons in Scripture are most often connected to God's provision and His rule over creation. So here's an example. Deuteronomy 11. If you will indeed obey my commandments that I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, he will give you rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain and your wine and your oil. And he will give grass in your fields for your livestock, and you shall eat and be full. So most of us, there are people who live in more primitive ways in third world countries, put in some ways like Honduras. But many people in this room, at one degree or another, live in modernity. We live in a modern world where, for the most part, technology takes care of us. So prior to the advent of technology, perhaps in the early 20th century, the world did not live that way. And again, there are all sorts of places that still live that way. But for the most part, most of us have technology to take care of us. We have trucks that deliver food to grocery stores. And so we do not live the way that much of history has lived. And much of history, what looked at time as something that was connected to God's provision or his rule over creation. Whether it was a Jew, whether it was a Christian, whether it was a pagan religion, they looked to the gods for their care and their provision. And that was tied up in an agrarian society, in a society that depended on agriculture, right? You were not going to be fed if the plants didn't grow. You are not going to be cared for if you weren't able to harvest and take the food. And that depended on different things. It depended on the weather. So they looked to the true God and to pagan gods. God, help me with the weather. Otherwise, I'm not going to eat. But it also depended on the knowledge of time, that time was organized in such a way that seasons were ordained by God to feed us, to take care of us, to help us. So the way that the ancient world or the Jewish people, for instance, would look at time, the passage of time, the marking of time, what time it is, was very much tied up into seeing God in control over creation, over time, over our provision. And it's something I want to point out, because I think that because we are so modern, we don't look at time that way very, very often. It's important to see it that way. In the Jewish world, there were festivals. There were, like we have holidays today. But these festivals were both tied into God's care in the salvation story, but they were also very much rooted in the agrarian society, in the agriculture of the day. Passover was a big festival, the festival of unleavened bread. It had a significance that was tied into provision, that they weren't going to leaven the bread because they were leaving Egypt in haste. But it was tied into what they ate. And Passover itself was their deliverance. They were the angel of death passed over them, and they were delivered from bondage in Egypt. So it was a celebration in time of God's care, God's deliverance, God's provision. Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, is also called the Feast of Ingathering. It was related to crops. It was related to the harvest. And many Christians understand Pentecost as a very special time. It was when God provided the Holy Spirit for Christianity in a very special and unique way. So that was a special time that pointed to God's care and provision. Rosh Hashanah is a Jewish holiday that shows up in the autumn, the fall. It speaks about God letting us start over in the same way that you and I do with New Year's on December 31st. Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement. Again, happens in the fall. It's when we are given the reminder that God delivers us from our sin. God atones for our sin. And then as Christians, you can read the book of Hebrews and see how much the Jewish Day of Atonement is tied in to what Jesus permanently did for us on the cross. So that is a holiday. It's a time. It's a holy day that reminds us of God's care and provision. And finally, the Feast of Booths, Tabernacles, was a reminder to the Jewish people how God would shelter them in the wilderness. He took care of them. And there are other festivals that we could look at. But this is just an idea how the Jewish people looked at time in a way that pointed them to God's care and God's provision. So the overall title, A Time for Every Purpose Under Heaven, that we'll see Ecclesiastes in a moment here, but I want to quote from a biblical scholar, M.H. Cressy, in regards to the biblical perspective on time. He says, "The Bible stresses not the abstract continuity of time, but rather God's given content of certain moments in history, certain appointments that God makes. God's purpose moves to a consummation. The Bible stresses times, the points at which God himself advances his purposes in the world. God's sovereignty extends also to the times of an individual life." So time is not just abstract. Time is not random in the biblical perspective. Time is all about God's purpose. God's purposes in history, God's plan for the world, God's plan for you and I. So here we are, Ecclesiastes 3, "For everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." Different versions will say a different matter, a different event. I think this is, that's King James right there, the word purpose is used. I think it's appropriate in the context because when you look at Scripture, you see that God does not do anything without purpose. So there is a time for every purpose under heaven. And I'm going to read through these, so just kind of consider this in your own life. A time to be born and a time to die, right? So assign purpose when you're hearing these words. God, I was born at a certain time. I'm going to die at a certain time, not just due to the random connection of cosmic events, but because God wanted me to be born at a certain time and die at a certain time. There was purpose behind it. So look at that the way as I read through the rest. There is a time to plant and a time to pick up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. There is a purpose for every event that happens under heaven, and there is a time for everything. So we need to ask that question, what time is it? Why? Because you yourself play an important part in God's purposes in time. Acts 17, God made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined the allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. So I ask the question, what time is it? Because that will affect me in what I think, say, and do. We saw all sorts of common examples. But we need to assign the question of what time is it to God's purpose. Because you were placed in this in Honduras for a very specific purpose. You were born at this period of time for a very specific purpose in God's plan. You will play a part in God's purposes in time. So, back to the original title. We need to ask the question, what time is it where you are? What time is it where you are? So I'm going to go through several examples of this in Scripture. And so think about that, because it will help you knowing what time it is. It will help you to learn how to think about something, you know, how to what to do, to define who you are. It's going to help you. We cannot act under God's purposes unless we know what time it is. Are you in a time of testing and judgment? Is it a time of testing and judgment for you? Exodus 12. The time that the people of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. So it's possible that this is simply a description of how long they were in Egypt. But I think if you put the context of God's plan together, you know, in Exodus, in the Scripture overall, you could see that God had them in Egypt for 430 years for very specific reasons that were related to God's overall plan. Why were they there that long? We can have that conversation later. But it's important to know that God appointed that time. 2 Samuel 24, the Lord sent a pestilence on Israel from morning until the appointed time. Why is my suffering lasting this long? Can't tell you exactly, but very often it's because God has an appointment for you during that time. Luke 4, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him, Jesus, until an opportune time. So God has a plan for you, the devil has a plan for you, and the devil works in time as well. We might be asking the question from the psalmist in Psalm 89. How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? These are questions of time, aren't they? How long will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. We asked this question when we were under trial, when we were suffering. We asked that question. It's related to time. And sometimes the answer is, I'm not going to tell you. Very often that's the answer. So, but if we do not trust, one, that God is our provider, that he is in control, that he cares for us, we're going to go crazy over this question. How long is this going to last? And so what this also shows you is that trial and suffering can come from different sources. God will test us sometimes. We may suffer as a result of our own choices, or the devil might be tempting us. But they're all related to time. So sometimes the answer to what time is it is, don't worry about it. Jesus told the disciples when they said, hey, when's the kingdom going to be restored? He says, I'm not going to tell you. It's not for you to know that. So we need to look at time in regards to our trust in God, that he's got this thing taken care of. Are you not in a time of trial or suffering, but a time of blessing? Is that what time it is for you? Leviticus 25, the 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of itself, nor gather the grapes from undressed vines. So this is a mark in time that again is related to their agricultural culture. It's related to sowing and reaping. Every 50 years, God appointed a time of blessing, a time of jubilee, a time of joy. And similar to our Sabbath, God said, on this time, during this time, you are to trust in me. You are not to work for your food. God says you're to take in and rest and receive the bounty that I've given you. And it was a time of a release of debt, etc. So that was an appointed time of blessing. 2 Corinthians 6, in a favorable time, God says, I listened to you. And in a day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If I don't know what time it is, meaning, in this case, if I do not acknowledge that I am currently in a time of blessing, maybe I'm all hung up on the suffering. Maybe I think that my life is all about trials and suffering. And all of a sudden, blessing starts coming along and I ignore it. And I don't take advantage of it. I don't give God thanks for it. Or I don't use the tools of blessing to bless others. Or, like we talked about last week, I take blessing as a reason to forget God. I'm getting all these blessings and so I don't trust God anymore. If I don't know what time it is, if I don't know that this is a time of blessing that has certain expectations for me and certain things that I should just relax and rejoice over, right, like the year of Jubilee, I'm never going to live in God's purpose. Are you in a time of blessing? Is it a time to speak? Proverbs 15, to make an apt answer is a joy to a man. And in a word in season, how good it is. All of us know this. There is a time to speak where you are going to be effective. There's a time where you absolutely do not need to speak. You need to be quiet. You need to stay silent. You need to listen. We have all gotten in trouble speaking something at the wrong time. Is it time to speak or is it time to be silent? Is it maybe a time to abandon your plans and pursue God? Mark 1, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Therefore, repent and believe in the gospel. Right? Have you been trucking along for months or years, doing your own thing, trying your own plan, and realizing it's not working, but you just keep trying it over and over? That definition of insanity. God says, all right, time is at hand. It's time for you to repent and turn to me. This is a fundamental verse when it comes to our salvation, certainly. So if you're in a room where you're in the room this morning and realizing that your way hasn't worked, that you're not a Christian, that it may be time to turn to God, I encourage you to do that. But for many of us Christians, it may be time for us to stop doing things our own way and turn to God's purposes again. Is it time? Is it time for you to grow up? Hebrews 5. Though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone else to teach you, again, the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. Have you been biding your time and avoiding growing up in some area? Right? You don't have to be a teenager or a 20-year-old to experience this. There are areas of maturity that we hold, or immaturity that we hold on to for far too long, and God says it's time to grow up. You should be a lot more mature by now. Is it time to move on, maybe? Is it time to pass the torch onto somebody else? 1 Kings, as David's time to die drew near, he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I am going the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and show yourself a man. Keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in his ways. David knew what time it was. It was time for him to die, time to pass on the kingdom of Israel to his son. And so he acted accordingly. Maybe is it time for you to wake up? Maybe it's time to take action. Get out of bed. It's time to wake up. Time to go to school. Time to go to work. Right? Have you been sleeping through life? Is it time for you to wake up? Proverbs 10. He who gathers in summer, right, seasons, is a son who acts wisely. But he who sleeps in harvest is a son who acts shamefully. Is it time for you to act, but you're sleeping through it? Is it time for you to reap the harvest that's around you, but you're ignoring it and thinking about other things? What time is it for you? Is it time maybe to buckle down and persevere? Galatians 6 says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. What time is it? So trusting in God's due season is about trusting God, isn't it? It's about trusting in God's timing. Are you trusting in God's timing, in God's control and organization and provision of time? 1 Samuel, in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. And she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. Hannah is an example of many people in Scripture who were promised something but had to wait a long time for it to come to pass. So part of Hannah's obedience was about biding that time and trusting in God, that he knew when it was going to happen. He knew that there was an appointment for her son to be born, even though she was barren at the time. Do I trust in God's timing? Psalm 69, this is a wonderful prayer for somebody who trusts in God's timing. As for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, at an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me in your saving faithfulness. That's a powerful prayer, and I will admit that I don't have the faith very often to say that prayer with a full heart, but I need to trust in God's timing. One big way for us to trust in God's timing is to live in time within the context of eternity. We see our timeline again, the beginning, then, now, the end. There's a timeline of our lives. There's a timeline of history. But God is above it all, right? God has placed us inside the context of time. He wants us to respond to time and times, minutes, hours, holidays, opportunities. We need to know what time it is. But the best way to trust in God's timing is to know that the source of all this comes from a timeless God, that we are living in the midst of eternity. John 3 says that whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. When we become Christians, we become eternal beings, right? We are born again of God's Spirit. We're going to live in eternity with God. So we live within time, but in the context of eternity. Romans 8 is part of this attitude. Paul says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So we can get hung up on time. I've talked a lot about the importance of knowing what time it is. But we can also make that into an idol, right? We can just look at time for time's sake. A lot of us are very much burdened by time. Michael talked about how busy, the holidays can be. Time can be a horrible thing to us. If we do not attach it to God's provision, God's control, and see it within the context of timelessness of God's eternity. So in one way, and I'll close with 2 Timothy 4 here, the way we want to live is like the person who learns, for instance, the fundamentals of basketball, right? Dribbling, defense, being in good shape, the fundamentals of the game. And they live in those fundamentals for years. And eventually they become so good that they can be released from the fundamentals to kind of fly above the pack a little bit. Some people want to live without the rules from the beginning without learning the fundamentals. The fundamentals in this case are learning the constraints and the expectation of time biblically. But eventually you want to get to a place where we're sort of beyond time. And maybe that's one of the things I can respect and admire, for instance, of Latin America. In some ways, they don't respect the constraints of time. In some ways, they're absolutely free from the constraints of time that in a healthy way. So 2 Timothy 4 says, preach the word. Be ready when? In season and out of season. So most of the time, we want to preach the word in season, but I think this is talking about a mature state that you are so connected to this God of time and timelessness that you can preach the word and be ready in season and out of season. But why? Because a time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. But having itching ears, they will accumulate themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So this is a charge that Paul is giving to these people, to us, that is based both on timelessness and time, right? Preach, be an eternal person, a son of God, and preach the word in season and out of season. Trust God to know that sometimes it's time to break the rules and maybe preach at another time. Why? Because in this world that we live, the time is ripe to speak because people are no longer listening. They need to hear the word that is preached. And so next week, we're going to be transitioning into the more practical aspect. These last 2 weeks, we've sort of looked at the idea of what knowing what time it is, the forward, the backwards, knowing what time it is now, and then next week we will end with making the most of our time. I know what time it is now, but what do I do about it? Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the creation of time, that in time we know that the world was created in 6 days and you rested on the seventh. And Lord, that we recognize the time that exists throughout your story in Scripture. 40 days in the wilderness, 40 days and nights for Jesus and temptation. We can look at all sorts of ways that you have organized time to advance your plan for our salvation and for us ultimately living with you in timeless eternity. So Lord, I ask that you just give us hearts to reflect, to ask this question, what time are we in now? To take the responsibility of that time, knowing that you are above time itself, and that you have a plan for our time, for tomorrow, for the days that come, for today itself. So Lord, I just ask that you reach into our hearts and give us a sense of both urgency and responsibility, but also peace, that you are in control of time, that ultimately you know what time it is, and that we can trust in you and your care and your provision. I pray for these and the things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me close in Galatians 4, starting in verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Now is the time of our salvation. Go out into the community of the world today, living out your lives as adopted sons of our Heavenly Father. Amen.
This podcast is produced by Embrace What Matters Ministries and is available most anywhere podcasts can be found. I encourage you to subscribe, share, and please leave a comment or send me an email. To learn more about this ministry, my devotional book, and other writings, please visit embracewhatmatters.com.